Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. Have a big week ahead.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Doing great. I mean, it's February. We're past the snow. It's warmed up. I'm actually sweating right now because I've been running around the building, like, cleaning up stuff, cleaning out things. But, yeah, doing great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sweating because I've been drinking coffee.
Yeah. But I did have some coffee, too, which probably wasn't wise. But
yeah, it's a good. It's good. Kind of like a transition time of the year,
it's
right?
Like kind of spring
again. We're still going to have another, like, week of cold. It's coming. Yeah, it always does.
Happens.
Like, there's always, like, a fake spring, and then there's another cold week. So we're prepared.
Did they do the groundhog thing?
Yeah, they did.
He saw a shadow.
Okay. So what does that mean?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, that's right.
He saw a shadow.
What does that mean?
We have more?
More winter.
More winter. Okay.
All right.
Also,
maybe
more
it'll
Trump.
Snow again.
I've heard. He saw a shadow and Trump's
that
still
is
be
for
president.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah. Maybe we'll get more snow.
I feel like sports wise, school activity wise, like church wise, just kind of like, okay, we're transitioning into Easter.
We're out of basketball season, starting baseball season. Mm-hmm. You know, soccer's winding down.
Yeah, for high school sports.
And in track. Yeah. So that stuff. Yeah.
Well, we had Night to Shine this past week.
We did.
And it shined.
Yeah.
Hey, good job.
We're hoping it.
Yeah, you shined in the execution of it.
Well, Christy Rowney also, huge shout out to her and Amanda and Davana and Michael, everybody on the team.
Great team.
Angie Linder, all of the decorating people. I could go on and on and on, but I won't.
Somebody is really salty that their name is mentioned right now.
I'm like going back.
Yeah, what a great time. Guys, I'll just say it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
But it's
for
great.
Y'all.
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
I'm usually one of those people who's like, oh, it's not that bad. I'm like, and it's not bad, but it is. I don't want to be like, it's not that much. It is.
I don't think people realize, too, like, I really didn't do much for Night to Shine, but, like, there's a little weight on it for me anytime something like that's happening to our staff because, like, as the pastor, I'm like, okay, are they okay? Like, this is a lot. Like, this can't be. Mm. It's got to stop soon.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that does – there are seasons for every one of our staff members, specifically ministry and leadership staff, that it's like –
you're prepping this for a big event or a big rollout of something, a new initiative. It just takes a lot of work. So.
But now you just have to do all the coordination for.
I know. Now I have all the time
for
vision,
for vision night.
Hey, I'll take it.
I like that you had asked me for information. I was like, sorry, I won't get it to you next week. You're like, don't worry, I'm not working.
I know.
On
after I was like, I don't even know why I asked for it because this is not happening.
Well,
this
that
week,
way but... I didn't wait till next week to get.
It worked out. Yeah, it was great. Well, another big event that we already had was when we're. Pre-recording, surprise, surprise. The Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl.
I mean, even
though we're recording this ahead of time, we all know the Chiefs won because the refs,
the
right?
Because of the script.
Join that conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, I can see the Eagles having won because they're like, oh, people are onto us.
Yeah.
But I don't know because that three-peat is a big deal.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
she's paying them.
True.
That's true. And they got to keep the ratings up. So, I mean, I hope the Eagles won. I mean, there's so many former Georgia players on the Eagles.
I don't like either team.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan, but I will. If you got to choose, you got to choose a side. So that's my side.
I did tell someone this is a Super Bowl I'm least interested to see.
It is. Like,
and ticket prices are like, I mean, $3,000 a ticket. That's pretty low
for the Super Bowl
of recent history.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's only 4 hours away. It's not too late. You can buy a ticket.
All right.
Is it in New Orleans?
Yeah, it's in New Orleans.
I forgot that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Well,
I guess we'll see. And we have.
And you've already seen.
Yes.
So who are listening?
So
you are in the future.
Whose predictions are correct?
We should make a prediction right now and see and score who's the closest. All right. Ready.
Eagles 34, Chiefs 28.
That's good.
I'm not going to get the numbers right.
It's okay.
27, I don't know, to what's a...
Prime number?
Don't do that.
19.
Just don't say like
I don't know. The Chiefs will win. 27. What's a field goal behind then?
24.
Okay. That's a realistic
number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... I think the Chiefs will win, but I'm going to say Eagles because I just don't want the Chiefs to win. So Eagles, and I'm willing to be wrong. And I think it is going to be, man, they've got a great running game. So I'm going 38 to 30. No, that's a dumb score. No, that makes sense. 30 is good. All right, there you go. There's my
that
score.
Took way too long. I'm
thinking through all the scenarios, right? I'm thinking through the scenarios. Yeah, like, if they get this many touchdowns, this many field goals.
You're not betting on every little moment?
No. Okay. No, that's way too much energy.
Okay.
Well,
sweet.
Sports are fun to talk about. It's obviously a big thing in our culture.
Yeah.
In our society. Why has that happened? I mean, I was thinking about other countries and maybe a different sport, but it just seems like all sports in
pretty
general.
Pretty much other countries, it's soccer. And that's it.
Mostly,
You know, so there's a few other countries.
Hockey in Canada.
Hockey in Canada. You've got cricket in
India. Yeah, and a few other. Rugby.
In England. Yeah, rugby is pretty big. But
There's random stuff,
and
too.
Baseball
we should have Googled
some countries,
that.
But
yeah, the Dominican and stuff.
Yeah, and in Asia, too. But I think,
Japan.
I mean, I think fundamentally.
Golf in Scotland. Can I keep this,
this
going?
This is true, yeah.
There's something in Fiji, I'm sure.
Where do they actually do curling? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
I don't know. It's a real Olympic thing. It's in the Olympics, man. I know. But where do they actually do that? For real? Besides the Olympics?
Places.
So I think positively, fundamentally, I mean.
Why is it a big deal?
They bring people together.
Yeah,
they do. It's entertaining. It's fun. People like to cheer for things and people. And ultimately, I think it goes back to it is something that just brings people together.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably the biggest reason that it's influential is it does bring people together. You know, you see that. They're like people have a longing to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I also would just say it's an escape, I think, know, from reality. Like that 3-hour football game, or if it's an SEC football game, 4 hours, you know, that basketball game, like everything, you can kind of.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's harder with smartphones now, but like at least historically in that moment, you know, you can kind of tune things out. And I think like even if you watch like certain documentaries, like you'll see like these cultural events are always like parallel with, you know, those kind of things. So. Yeah, and I think there's an appreciation for greatness.
I mean, it is fun to watch great athletes. Just like if you're listening to a great musician, or you're just, it's amazing. You just marvel at like, I can't believe somebody's ability. Like, the human body
have you
can't
been
do
to a pro football game or basketball game?
Yes,
they're huge.
That is true. They are much larger in life than they appear on.
I mean, even if you've been to a college like, it's just. They're massive.
Yeah.
And they're fast.
Yeah.
And they're strong.
It is like the 0.001% of athleticism. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we marvel at abnormalities, you know? I mean, just by nature.
Freaks. I didn't say
freaks. I mean, but
some
athletes
of them are.
Have been called freaks. He's a freak, you know, because
that's
what he's able to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
we watch way more college football because, you know, the South. But
because, you know, the South.
The South. Like, my friends from the North are like, why do you guys watch college football when there's professional football? But it is.
So
when we do watch professional, I'm like, wow, they're so much better than
I know. They really are.
Yeah.
So it is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I think that those are, something bigger than yourself and escape and then just the appreciation for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and you could talk about, like, if for maybe this kind of gets us where we're going in the conversation, but even the positive things for involvement in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it does teach a lot of lessons. You can learn a lot of lessons by participation in a team.
Yeah.
It's a great lesson to learn to lose, right? It's a great lesson to learn to compete, to have drive, and to work together and be a team player. So there's positive aspects of that just in participation as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are the good things. What are maybe some warnings?
I would say good gifts make lousy gods, and I think that's
come on, preacher.
that's a little soundbite.
You are preaching this upcoming
Sunday.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice plug.
But I think that it's just like anything
on circumcision.
Yeah, I know, right? I am going to make a joke about that and you not teaching on circumcision. I'm not going to.
That is not my style. You can
I know,
make that joke all you want.
I'm going to make the joke and then I have a funny joke.
Okay, I believe
that.
You.
So,
we'll see it.
So everybody laugh.
Yes. Please laugh at me. Not because I do a bad job.
Please laugh at me.
Stick to music.
Back to middle school Justin all over again.
Because I'm funny, with really.
With your headgear and your...
I really am funny. I think anything. You know, this isn't targeting sports, anything in general that we elevate to that place where we centralize. But it is so easy with sports in our culture. So I think that's what we're talking about specifically. And if you're listening here and like they're picking on sports, no, you substitute in anything, music, any kind of participation where you're centering your life, revolving your family schedule around this thing. And that is your, you know.
So you're kind of getting into our personal involvement.
But I think. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to talk about like just as a general rule, like sports, you know, like back to what you said about good gifts make terrible gods or something like that. You know, I think a lot of people are idolized and elevated simply because they have athletic ability who are in no way a good influence in life other than that.
That's true.
There are people in my gym who I want their advice on how to work out. Mm-hmm. I do not want their advice on anything else.
I know. I'm the exact same way. I'm like, I watch, you know, like people at the gym, you're watching each other like, hey, they're doing that. And you notice someone who's in shape. I'm like, maybe I should think about the exercise they're doing. But then I hear them talk. I'm like, but I'm not going to ask them about what I should do with parenting because I'm listening to what they're saying about
it. And I think it's more celebrity culture than it is athletes. I would say actually if you compare kind of all celebrities, athletes tend to actually be a little more grounded than other genres of celebrity.
Yeah, that's true.
But there are things they're like speaking to about the election and I'm like, who cares what they have to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good
They're not they're literally just keeping their brand going, you know.
Yeah. It is funny that we elevate them because they're professional athletes in all areas of their life.
Yeah.
You know. I mean some of them, there are a few out there, even though I'm a Florida State fan. I mean, Tim Tebow, his life,
good
wonderful
call,
athlete,
Kelly.
But, you know, matches his character and all that.
So. Yeah, certainly seems to be the case. So I think you know, and I think the escape part that we talked about and the being a part of something bigger than you, we talked about, like, I do think people make it the thing. I mean, I know people who it is their life. They live to escape into sports and watch sports and their team and, like, that's really sad.
Yeah.
And I would say sometimes at the neglect of family, certainly in the neglect of faith. And that's really dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note that when you're critically evaluating like involvement in this or the watching it, like it's not bad to watch a football game. Like it's actually great and it's fun and it can bring people together. There's great things that can come from it. But when you are like all day, every day, and you're neglecting other things, like it's an issue. I think we have to like recognize, like, because I think sometimes when a pastor says, hey, you need to evaluate how much time you're spending on that, it's like, yeah, you're just a killjoy. No, we watch sports. Mm-hmm. Our kids play sports. We like to go and cheer. Mm-hmm. But what are you revolving your life around at?
Mm. Yeah, and you're right. It might not be sports for you. It could be
music.
It could be other forms of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know,
we're just talking about sports right now. So
because of the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that, like, another element that I've observed is how passionate and defensive people get about people wearing jerseys. Like, we'll get into fights about it. Oh, yeah. Like, specifically Alabama fans. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's always
But it's
band.
Like, they'll
They've
just
been
like.
Been humbled a little bit this year, so.
Well, even the FSU, like, just I'm like, really? Like, why are y'all fighting about this? Like, on Facebook or, you know, in family? Like, I've seen people, I mean, people have gotten into fist fights at games, you know, especially if alcohol is involved.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Usually alcohol is involved, but there's just weird, it's just why? It's, why is this said to be?
Like, why are you so mad that somebody's critical of your team? Or like the 12 teams that get in or not get, like, really?
Yeah.
Like, calm down, man.
Yeah.
Like, I get, I want my team to get, like, it's okay. I want my team. I'm going to defend my people.
Yeah.
You don't even know them. They don't even know who you are. They don't know you exist.
Yeah.
And you're defending them like they're family.
Yeah. When people get too into it, I tend to shut down. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't. Let's shut down. Like, when we went to the Notre Dame game, and
how did that game go?
They lost. Okay. Georgia lost. Okay. But, like, two rows in front of it, like, and we were in the Notre Dame section
because
we got
too.
Really, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Still laugh that I booed so loud.
You booed me very loudly.
But the two rows in front of us, like, it was fun. Like, actually, there's a great history of Georgia and Notre Dame fans getting along and, like, being friendly. But, like, two rows in front of us, there was somebody who was so obnoxious about it. And I leaned forward to the girl in front of us, like, $5 if you just take their hat and throw it. Like, I was just over it. Like, I just can't. Why? Why is this so important to you that you're taunting people? Like, yeah. Anyway, they played terribly, so we kind of deserved it. But it's way too important.
As I've gotten older, too, like, people being like at high school games.
Oh, I'm man, like, listen.
He's 15 years old.
Oh, if you listen, we all in Niceville love our Niceville Eagles, but the way that some fans talk about high schoolers on the field, it's ridiculous the way that they critique.
I know.
Like, they're 16. Like, come on. Like,
I know.
They're going to drop a pass. Yeah. Come on. Like,
you get out there and do better.
I know. Come on. Why is it so
important?
So
I feel that way a little bit about college athletes. Not as much now they're getting paid, you know, but I'm like, even professional athletes, I'm like, they're like 20-something-year-old dudes. Like, chill. Yeah. Like, again, you could say he doesn't deserve to start. Like, that's not, you know, but anyway, it's just wild.
Well, that's sports and culture.
Yeah.
It trickles down in all areas of life.
Yes, it does.
What about sports and believers? How does it help us, you know, if our kids or we're involved in sports? Like, what are the things that we can do to, I don't know, take advantage of the situation?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I would say
leverage
first,
it. For
there
good.
You go. Thank
leverage
you.
It for good.
So obviously, if you're going to practices, you're on the sidelines, your kids are involved, you're going to meet people.
Yeah.
Now, if you truly are intentional in those relationships, there can be a lot of great things.
Yeah.
Also, I think a lot of people say, well, it's just like my mission field, but they never actually have a conversation about faith or like involvement in church. I mean, that's, you know, like, I think that's you can trick yourself into thinking you're being intentional. Mm-hmm. But I think in those times, your engagement, your time there, leveraging those opportunities and conversations is a big deal.
Yeah.
I think that's a big piece is realizing this is, you know, domains of society. We are in society. And so as Christians, we're not called to huddle up. And you know, I'm not a huge fan of Christian sports leagues, you know, like I get that that's a need in certain communities. Our Crosspoint up the street does a basketball league because there's not one in our community.
Yeah, I'm grateful and they do a great job.
So that's not a critique of that. But sometimes it's like we want to get away from the non-Christians. So we're going to come play sports here. Yeah. And then my kid can start, you know. But like, I think it is a great opportunity to be on mission in most communities. In some communities, not so much this one as much, but like there's a need for leadership, you know, and the church can step in the gap. So absolutely, you know, I've seen that. I mean, again, I was at a basketball game with your family and all these people are coming to talk to the famous Kelly Brown, you know. So it's just opportunity to be in people's lives.
Yeah.
So that's one benefit.
Proximity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What about... Well, and I think we touched on it with kids and just them learning valuable things
That
life lessons.
It's been so great. I mean, you know, I was just talking to a dad the other day whose kid, you know, made a mistake in a game. And you know, he was just talking about how this is an opportunity to, we make mistakes, you know. And some people will encourage you and some people will be rude to you. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen again, you know. And so I do think it is an opportunity to expose our children to what it's like to be on a team and as believers, like we are called to be on, you know, God's team. We're called to be in the church.
Jesus,
we're called
y'all.
To be. No, I mean, we are. Our life is lived with others. Yeah. And so it is a great opportunity for that. I mean, I can think of several moments with bad coaches, bad teammates, you know, again, disappointments, you know, working hard. There's just so many lessons that I think it can it can help with, honestly, you know. I mean, respect everyone, try your hardest, have fun. You know, that's what we try to when I coach, I try to say to our kids, and I'm like, I think that's kind of life. Respect everyone.
Yeah,
try your hardest at everything and enjoy it.
Yeah. Do your best. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any other comments from you guys on the benefits of it?
I mean, same. I was kind of thinking about my daughter and her team did not have a good year at all this year. They had a lot of new players, people that had never played basketball before, and yeah, it was an opportunity, I think, for them to learn those lessons, but then also, like, be encouraging to those that maybe are still developing, you know?
Right.
And even my daughter specifically, there were a lot of team members that didn't speak English. And so she was able to, like, reach out to them and, you know, get on GroupMe chats and, you know, like, start relationships with them when she didn't have. And they were just so sweet because they like would be friends and little buddies on and off the court. And so, you know, same with that for sure.
If I can put a bow on, I would say that life is, there are so many things that are out of your control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but you are responsible for what you are responsible for. And when it comes to sports, that is often the case, especially team sports.
Yeah.
You can't control how your teammates do that day. You can't control the referees. You can't control the decisions your coaches make, but you can control how you respond and the effort you give.
Yeah.
You can't even always control how well you execute that day.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, like,
true.
I mean, obviously, and I think another thing with that is like practice goes into that, a lot goes into that moment. And so I think that's a good, it's a good life lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And for parents too, sitting on the sidelines, what they should and should not.
Yeah. Yes. But I think with that, there's a danger for Christians when we forget the purpose of anything is the shaping of the disciple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's
true.
All these positive things can come, and it comes back to as you approach extracurricular things, what's your motive?
Yeah.
And if for the believer, if your approach is we're in this to win, okay, well that's what you're going to get. But we should, as believers, approach all decisions and, you know, with the motive of how is God placing me here for these people?
Right.
How could he use me for these people? Yeah, I want my kid to grow. I want my kid to have opportunity. Yeah, all those things. But really, those things fall secondary to what's God calling us to do. I think if we applied that filter to all of our decisions, like, hey, you're thinking about buying a house. Have you asked God, like, what neighborhood he wants you to be in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you asked, like, where, Lord? Like, show us, lead us, help us. I mean, any decision we're making, like, Lord, help our motive be to honor you, not just what am I getting out of this?
Yeah, that's a good point. Any other warnings, like dangers that can be just in being wrapped up in sports?
It can take over your life faster than you realize.
Yeah.
And I think that's a war, and you have to, I mean, it comes down to priorities. Like this sports, I mean, if you, we were talking before we even recorded, right? Like if your desire is to honor the Lord and to see life through the lens of Scripture, like, I mean, there's things that aren't in Scripture. Like, you know, like it doesn't say be involved in sports. Like, so you got to take the Scripture filter over your involvement in sports. And it will take over your life if you don't have, if you don't make first things first. And I think a lot of people fill in the blank with the activity would say, yeah, our priorities are right because but really, are they? And I think being humble enough that if someone that is close to you in relationship says, hey, like calls you like, hey, what? I see this, like not being defensive right away.
Yeah, it will become your identity.
Yeah.
And it's not just sport. We're just talking about sports. But
whether you're an athlete or a parent or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, and you know, I've military, ministry, athletes, I think, you know, are three of the ones that I've particularly seen. There's just a tendency to base your worth on how you do that and if you get to continue to do that. And when you finally hit that moment when you retire from the military, or you finally hit that moment when ministry isn't good anymore, or when you finally hit that moment when you don't get to make the next level of sports, which those things are all going to happen, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's why you see even some sad people living vicariously through their children and stuff, because they're now still wrestling through their identity. And so I think as a believer, we got to be sure to, as you said, prioritize who we are. You know, so
yeah, because it's I think keeping that it's a season too.
Yes,
and like you said, filtering everything through the gospel and where God wants us. And
most
of those seasons, even for professional athletes, it's not their entire life. Yeah,
unless you're LeBron James.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
So the elephant in the room.
I would make an elephant.
I am not that overweight.
I don't know how
you
to make an elephant.
When you said it.
What kind of noise? I can't make an elephant noise, but yay! Oh, good. There you go. That
I don't
was
know
very
if it translated.
That's impressive.
It's the only animal noise I can do well.
They're such smart animals.
Yeah.
Well, James, you've had like little.
Okay.
No, go
all right. So since we're clearly going to talk about something serious, we had to lighten it up.
Elephant. Okay. James, you have some maybe from other people's views, perceived criticisms of sports that people might say, oh, he's talked about this.
Yes.
James, why do you hate travel sports?
Yeah.
Why do you hate me?
I have been.
Why do you think I'm not a Christian? Because that's.
Why do you think I'm
okay,
not?
So let me just clarify.
Okay.
Share a couple thoughts and then
yeah.
we can, I mean, if you disagree with me, y'all are
okay.
welcome to.
All right.
So I think that 98% of what most churches do are great, but not definite things we have to do as believers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But gathering together with the church on Sunday regularly
mm-hmm.
is not only described, but prescribed in the Bible, and yeah. it's what God's people have done for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
It is a recent,
very recent
cultural trend of middle class, primarily white people
mm-hmm.
who allow leisure to get in the way of regular attendance on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
I think that so many Christians are like, whatever the travel coach says, we will do.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever the travel coach says go, we will go, without valuing the prescription and description and historic foundation of gathering together with the church and how God intends that to remind us of our identity and our purpose. And I am concerned for any believer who doesn't care
mm-hmm.
about what that has to say.
Yeah.
So does that mean that I think you can't be on a travel team? No. In fact, my son, who's a pretty good basketball player, has been one year before. As he's now in high school, we're open to that again mm-hmm. with – but I'll tell you, when one of the coaches came to him and was like, hey, man, do you do travel sports? We'd love you to do travel sports or be on our team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I mean, my dad, you know, really doesn't – I mean, he put it on me, but he's like, my dad really doesn't want me to miss that many Sundays. And they were like, okay. And he's like, no, like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to have to miss a bunch of Sundays, I'm not going to. And they're like, no. So, like, we're saying, hey,
mm-hmm.
we'll do this, but let's be clear. You're not God in our life, travel
right,
coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I just think a lot of Christian parents
they don't think they're allowed to make that.
I think they're scared to because of mm-hmm. what it might cost, because I think in many cases – the potential that being on that travel team could bring for their kid is worth more than what is prescribed and described in the Bible. I know that sounds very authoritative. And I can't, you know, I've not told anyone like this is how many times you should and should not do. But mm-hmm. I'll just say, you know, like, I don't know how we miss church half the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are obeying what Christ says. Mm-hmm. It's not about what James says. Mm-hmm. And our church is fine. I mean, we have travel, you know, we're a white, predominantly white, middle-class church. We have mm-hmm. that all in our church. We're fine as a church. So this isn't about James wanting you to be there,
yeah.
you know, or get, like,
right.
this is about you. And so I've said all these things for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
really since I've been a dad and pastor. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so I still feel that way,
yeah.
you know, not legalistically, but pretty passionately about it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's so, like a
yeah, I mean, it goes back to how, like, the slow creep of how this can take over your life. And you think even, like, travel mm-hmm. sports, you said, are a pretty recent phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are.
You know, like, yeah. I think growing up, like, I was not in sports because I was terrible, but most of my brothers were.
Mm-hmm.
I was in plenty of other things. And it just didn't exist. And they were both really good. And if there was an extra travel tournament, it was like – it was done on Saturday,
mm-hmm,
and everybody
yeah.
went home,
yeah.
and there wasn't stuff on mm-hmm. Sunday.
Right.
It wasn't school sports
it
on
wasn't.
Wednesdays.
And it
was,
I was in marching band, and we cut. Like, there was no mm-hmm. practice on Wednesdays. There were, like, not just for band,
yeah.
but, like, for the sports.
Yeah.
It was, like, Wednesday practice in a public school. Like,
mm-hmm.
Wednesdays were done because
yeah.
but they it was
yeah. –
okay, so that's shifted, but that was the first thing to shift, and then it crept
right.
into Sundays. And so we have to realize, like – yes, this is a cultural trend.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to say, what are we going to do? Like,
yeah.
we are pretty adamant about not following other cultural trends. Why is this one more negotiable?
Yeah. And I've heard, like, well, you know, my kid's going to come to summer camp, or my kid's going to come to this youth event and all that. I'm like, but again, those aren't things that are in the Bible.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm personally, and I usually don't say anything,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, but why aren't you prioritizing around the thing that God clearly prescribes and describes in the Bible. Like, and I get, and if it's like, well, my kid will come to all the fun things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so basically they don't think church is that fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like church isn't supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be full of joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Engaging. Yeah.
But not entertaining. Like, and I do think our church might be a little attractional comparatively speaking even, but like, that shouldn't be what's guiding us. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I would say secondary, anything else about church? Sorry, before I move on to something else.
I would just say if your family is involved in this, like there, we have families in this church who I think do this pretty well.
Yeah, I agree with
you
that.
Know, and I think I would just encourage you, like you need to like tell someone, hey, we're doing this hold us accountable. Mm-hmm. Like if you see us, if you hear me making
excuses.
You
never see us anymore.
Yeah. You need to call my butt out. Yeah. Like, tell me, like, and invite that into your life and do that for someone else.
That's a good thing, too, because I think when travel sports started really being big, it was like summer.
Yeah.
Like, baseball was summer. And so you understood, like, hey, in the summer season, we're going to spend more time as a family. We won't go to church as much. Like, even though I don't necessarily agree with that, but like, I get it. But now it's like there's fall ball and there's spring ball and there's, you know, and there's, you know, with basketball, there's basketball high school season. Then we're, you know, traveling this time. And it's like, it's just become so all consuming. And I would say in addition to the church thing, like, I just don't know that those are the rhythms that believers should have.
Yeah.
Like we should have freedom to live on mission. And like, if we say that's our mission field, praise Jesus, but what are we inviting them to? Like, if we're just like that culture, like, what are we inviting them to, right?
How are you
like,
any different? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think a lot of people when I talk to and they're having marriage problems or a breakdown, like their schedule is just so full.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so,
well, and I think you said the word rhythms, and rhythms are like what's normal in your life and what happens repetitively, you know? And also people, like you said, might be taking the Sunday service as a secondary when it really needs to be their primary, you know, part.
Yeah.
And so
That's very accurate.
And you also have, I mean, life happens. So if you're already missing 75% of the month from travel ball and then
you're sick
or, you know, you need to do something, then it's so easy to just drift into not.
Right.
You know, it's those little tiny things that if you don't have, like, this is the priority, this is the boundaries, you know, accountability, then you can find yourself like, oh, we really didn't go to church at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
you know, I think of in Hebrews, it talks a lot about, I mean, it talks about the importance of gathering together in Hebrews 10.
Yeah.
But even earlier in the chapter, there's so many exhortations to exhort one another and build each other up, lest one of you drift away. Mm-hmm. And I think this is like even the corporate altogether is a form of accountability, but it's also an exhortation. Like we need that because we so easily like that deception to drift away, to disengage. It happens usually very subtly.
Yeah.
And then it's a slow creep away, step by step. And I think that we have to be very aware of that.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a couple of questions.
Okay.
So the first one is...
And I'll just say, if somebody wants to talk to me about it, I'm happy to talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't make decisions for anybody, and I don't feel like it's my responsibility to make decisions for anybody. And, you know, I can just share. I'm a voice. I'm not the voice. I can share what I thought, what I think. We could talk about it. But ultimately, like, you've got to determine that. I would just say all of us need to ask ourselves in any decision we make, but specifically when it comes to something that our children are doing and the time they're spending, how is the scripture informing this decision?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should be able to confidently answer that question about any dollar you spent, not literally any dollar, but
any dollar.
You know, like,
but
yeah, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we talk to people,
the
decisions we make, jobs we take, how is the scripture informing us?
Filtering everything through the gospel. So here's the question. How do you filter this? Why don't we give an invitation, altar call?
Justin.
Well, you see, guys. So. I mean.
We really don't care if people go to heaven.
I mean, that's ultimately, don't we?
We just want them to stop traveling with their sports team.
So, I mean, we do a form of this. I mean, I think the main reason is there's nothing wrong with altar calls. In fact, many people have come to know Jesus in response to an altar call. There are times when we have done that pointedly. I mean, I think bottom line is that what we traditionally have seen over time, like not just our church, but many churches, is that that's not how people respond in general anymore. Like walk, I mean, I think a lot of us grew up in church remember the walking the aisle, and then everyone stared and wondered what's wrong with them. I think really, if we were to do an altar call, honestly, it would need to be it should be a lot more Christians coming to the altar to repent over. You know, the conviction of the word, really, then just
everyone responds to the gospel.
We do try to give a very, and even as we have a worship response song, we try to give a pointed, like, there's if you pay attention, those songs are usually pretty thematic with where we've been in the teaching and what we're calling people to respond to. We do give opportunity to respond, but ultimately, I think. Well, this is a thread. This isn't ultimately. I think
you said this is a threat.
A thread.
Oh,
I say threat. This is a threat. You don't start coming. Wow, y'all. No, a thread.
Dang, bro.
A thread feeding into this is that.
In serious.
I think people have relied on the church to do the evangelism,
yeah,
like
that's
the
good.
Corporate, and
good.
We should. Like our services should be evangelistic. We should be. However, we should also be sharing the gospel and having gospel opportunities and conversations. Mm-hmm. And so, all those streams flowing into the river would be why.
Man, you're
you know.
You're getting in your old age, Justin.
I get a little waxing philosophical.
Good gifts don't make terrible gods.
All
those streams.
I think ultimately it's just like people just want a quick answer. And the older you get, you realize like most things, there's just not an easy answer. This is the reason. It's like, well, there's a lot of reasons. And also, maybe we should sometime. I don't, you know, like we're not, that's not a, this is the way we do it.
Yeah.
When did that start?
Was it Dwight Moody or before Dwight Moody? Like 150 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not that old.
No, the Great Awakening probably. Mm-hmm. There was this great, you know, that right? The Great Awakening, like the great, just the calls to repentance, you know, revivalism probably.
Yeah,
But
the altar call as we know it was like early 1900s.
Really is the rise of the Azusa Street Revival and Pentecostalism. Mm-hmm. Honestly, was a lot of it.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, so in the Bible, we have people responding to the gospel in mass. But those are not church services. Those are like public proclamations of the gospel, evangelistic events. So the church gathering on Sunday is not primarily evangelistic event for non-believers. It's for believers.
Right.
That doesn't mean that non-believers are excluded. And it doesn't mean that salvation doesn't happen, because we can see in 1 Corinthians 14 that they non-believers see the power of God and they fall on their face and all. And so that should be happening, but yeah, the altar call is a relatively new phenomenon. I also think that it makes the public profession of faith something that the Bible doesn't. The Bible makes baptism the public profession of faith. Mm-hmm. So I also think that it can be very manipulative, intentionally and unintentionally. Mm-hmm. And emotionalism does play a part, undeniably, with the music we play and all those things now. And so I think as a pastor, it almost feels reckless and irresponsible.
Yeah.
I also agree with what Justin was saying, that for us, we aren't a culture. Our church isn't a culture of responding in that moment visibly.
Yeah.
They're getting there. I would say to the point where they didn't even really sing that loudly, but they're getting there. Mm-hmm. So if we were going to do that, it would be like, hey, there's people at the altar, whatever you need prayer for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it would need to be not just non-believers, but believers who are responding. It wasn't working here either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it created more confusion and disorder than
awkwardness and all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes
But we
sense.
Are calling people to respond to the gospel every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And we're actually specifically giving them steps to take. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm standing at the altar. Just
so
to
there
be
clear. Is an altar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's like talk. Yeah.
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You agree? Do you think we're bad for this?
Yeah, no, I was thinking.
Yeah,
I've been in churches where altar calls were regular part of but it was more of like for repentance or, you know, they just needed prayer for something, anything like that. And then I also remember being a kid and it was like, if you want to accept the Lord, then walk down. And I don't know, I just, both sides of it, I was just, because my personality, like, it just feels awkward to me. Yeah. And I don't know if that's good, bad, you know.
Well, then Jesus is going to not deny you. I started singing. Yeah. We are actually trying to figure out how we can create more of a response time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what you said was important, though, making it to where it's not like all the people that everybody knows they need to repent or, you know.
Ooh, they're finally walking the aisle, right? I just remember growing up, like, because the church I grew up in, it was a First Baptist church, and it was like people who wanted to be saved or join the church. And so you're like,
which one are they?
Oh, man, yeah.
That's true. They did do the join the church.
The mind of a kid, you know, growing up, but you're just like, it's just this creates, like you said, this. You know, it's just
or rededicated.
Yeah, there were some rededications. Yes,
but I remember being, you know, in some of these services where they'd have an altar call like that, and people that were like, you know, giants of the faith in your own mind went for prayer. Then you're like, that was encouraging.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
absolutely.
So that part of it, I see, can be really important to implement.
We need to figure out how to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
that
then
culture.
You're like, oh, they need Jesus too. Yeah, you know. So, that's my opinion on it. But all right, one last question. Do we have time?
Sure, go for it.
Do it.
This is going to be a long episode, but our last two have been short.
Yes, they have been.
All right. Should pastors be giving commentary on Trump's decisions from the pulpit?
So this is in light of the fact that there have been several pastors have made comments about immigration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of been attacked by conservatives for giving comments about immigration. So two things. One is it's interesting that the people are having problems with them didn't have any problems with pastors criticizing Biden and Obama. And
yeah.
So like, it's like, why is it always, pastors shouldn't be do that when it's something we don't like.
True.
Yeah.
But in general, some of the things, I actually know a couple of the people who I've seen kind of go viral for what they said. And I am like, why are they saying this now? And, you know, there may be a lot going on in their church.
That's true.
But I still feel like, you know, the pulpit is a privilege, and I think we really need to be wise as to what we leverage that for.
Mm-hmm.
So they answer to God for whether or not – but in all of them, they still stay generic. Mm-hmm. So they didn't, like, say, in our church, this is happening. And as a pastor, I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Like, I would have more actual, like, support for them saying, hey, as a pastor, I feel burdened to talk about this right here. And maybe they meant to, and they just didn't communicate that well. So So I probably – I feel like it would take a lot for me to
ultimately, in the pulpit, you're trying to preach the word, make disciples, and part of discipleship is worldview. And so you're helping trying to help people craft this, like, how do you see the world?
Mm-hmm.
That – I don't care who the president is. There are times that that's going to go against a president's policies.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So – but to stand up there and I think what you said is very true. Like, this tends to become an issue when whatever is said goes against what you think. So,
Well,
so maybe you think they should?
I think that no. I think that, short answer.
You're the communications coordinator here. Should I?
I would
say
not
more?
Advise.
Okay.
Against that. Yeah. I just think, like, if somebody truly went, like you said, if it was like this undercurrent and there was a lot of division in the church and, you know, like everybody knows and it's this elephant in the room or whatever, sure, you know, if not like on a continual basis. But if it's somebody wanting to know, like, well, what does the pastor think about this? Like, that's a conversation that can happen.
Or
certainly.
Episode.
Yeah. Get a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it being in another environment, because then I just think it, I don't. There's just so much can be read into it and misunderstood, and construed, and so, you know, when it is something that's not, it would have to be so closely aligned to what the gospel says, you know, and so I think that part of it you could say if you're like absolutely like, well, this is what the word says, but as soon as you start entering in your commentary, then it gets a little tricky. I don't know. It's just me, though.
I agree.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, you send them to me, Kelly, at churchonbayshore.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.